Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mark and Hart.
Mark and Hart.
Mark and Hart.
Hate the most, probably be Mark James.
Fidel Goodell.
Phony Michelle.
Cha and Ching together.
Me, myself, and Irie Irving.
Which was regrettable.
The two things I heard
the
you say.
The only thing more regrettable be listening to you, but go ahead.
Dial 617-779-7937.
Mark and Hart.
Mark and Hart.
Mark and Hart.
You said you would never do a show with me.
Well, you know.
And now here you are.
I'm a team player.
Why can't you carry me?
I don't need you. I could do a better show.
Yeah.
Mark and Hart.
Mark and Hart.
Mark and Hart right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Chaim Bloom to the Red Sox as GM is finalized. Chaim Bloom is the Red Sox new general manager. He was the assistant general manager. I think he had a different title down in Tampa Bay, but whatever. But he was basically the number two guy in charge down there. He's 36 years of age. Started as an intern working with San Diego, I believe, and it's been a long time. He's a Yale guy. He's a real analytical guy. He's exactly what these baseball people want now.
Oh, good Saturday morning, everyone. It is Mark with a C and Hart with an H here on WEEI. It's great to be here with you. This is an Eamon Convey production. We're rocking and rolling. We'll just give you the number to get in, 617-779-7937. So before we get, there's so much stuff to get into. What a week it was for the Patriots, irrespective of the game against the Jets. But we come in there at the end of that intro with the news yesterday that was broken officially. Writes on OMF about Chaim Bloom becoming the new general manager of the Red Sox. But I get to take a victory lap.
Chaim Bloom.
Because Eamon Convay and Ben Charleston, to their credit, these guys, I mean, it was like finding a needle in a haystack.
4,000 hours of radio plus.
And they found it. And let's just say that there was, someone said something on this station on Monday night, August 19th, over 2 months ago.
About 7:15 p.m. We'll take you back.
Say it again. I'll be the first on public record here in Boston to say it. The Red Sox. I will personally, on behalf of the Red Sox, go and give my recruiting pitch to Chaim Bloom, the executive vice president of player personnel for the Tampa Bay Rays. He's 36 years old. He's Yale educated, and he could be the next Theo Epstein. I think Chaim Bloom is the Red Sox answer. So if and when the Red Sox ever hire him away, because not only do you accomplish two things, you hire a guy who could be the next Theo Epstein, and not only that, you weaken one of your enemies in the Tampa Bay Rays. You weaken them. So that's the guy that I would hire for the next GM of the Red Sox. But, whatever. Well, in honor of the late great Mr. Perfect, Kurt Hennig, and I see the nephew of Brett the Hitman Hart, Andy Hart, cracking a smile,
See, normally a radio host is right so often. Someone like me, who's right so many times, would never ask a producer to go back through 4,000 hours to find a statement like this. But someone like Mark, who needs this, who quite frankly is wrong way more than he's right.
That's okay.
Deserves this.
Okay,
he actually got one right.
Yep.
Deserves the victory lap. Yeah. He is correct. Now, see, the problem for you is here.
Uh-oh.
If he stinks.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Now you're tied to him.
Well, that's it. I'm tied to him.
Now, the Red Sox obviously are tied to him, and they're in trouble if he stinks too. And there's a lot of philosophical questions I have about this.
Okay.
I mean, don't you say, what are we doing here? Like, what exactly is this plan? The Rays are a good organization on a small budget, correct?
Sure.
Are we going in that direction, or are we marrying small budget principles with big budget finances?
It's a great question, but I'm going to say this. That's a great question that you have.
What have we heard this offseason?
Yep.
There was the mandate that wasn't a mandate that we're getting below the tax line, the 209, whatever it is.
Yep.
That we should be prepared for Mookie Betts to be gone, maybe J.D. Martinez to be gone. So the little dots we have to connect And we've been doing a lot of dot connecting in this town lately between Tom Brady and the wide receivers and trades. Lots of dots to connect. But in this Red Sox dot connecting,
yeah,
I see dots that tell me so far all the dots say they're going to be a smaller budget, smaller market type team. Now, I hope that's not true.
Yeah.
Because I don't like that. Because guess what? You're not. You're in a big market.
Oh, yeah.
You have a big budget.
Well, Uncle John Henry's checkbook is endless.
But it's fine.
But you know what it is? It's the anti-Dombrowski.
Sure. So which is fine.
Right.
That's the way the world works. High and bloom. It's reactionary.
Yep.
I've said it for years. We see it every time virtually there is a coaching change in the National Football League. It goes from players coach to a dictator, authoritative.
Yes.
Oh, that didn't work. Back to a... So I'm fine with that, sort of the ebb and natural flow. But are we going all in on the Rays philosophy?
I don't think so because
I hope not.
Because you're Boston. So you don't ever have to. As long as John Henry is scratching the checks, you're still going to be competitive with the Yankees, the Dodgers. But I will tell you this. You bring up an interesting question because the predecessor to Chaim Bloom in Tampa Bay was a guy by the name of Andrew Friedman.
Right.
Who is now in charge of the Dodgers.
Right.
Now, he all of a sudden has this wealth of resources, which he never had to, you know, he was able to, he gets Kershaw, give him a big deal, goes after, you know, and still made some good evaluation moves with Cody Bellinger. The one thing I want to say before we, you know, we delve into that is that, you know, people used to say about Randy Moss a lot of times that he's the best wide receiver in the NFL when he played, when he wanted to be. Charles Barkley once said about former power forward of the New Jersey Nets and a bunch of other teams, Derek Coleman. He's the best power forward in the NBA when he wants to be. Well, I think in this situation, all I want to say is to all the, quote, baseball people in this town, I'm calling you out.
Did you hear that, Rob Bradford? He's calling you out.
Pete Abraham, Rob Bradford, Tony Maserati, Lou Merlone, all of you, Alex Spear, Mr. 103 Stitches. Okay, all of you people who are so baseball, you know what? I guess I'm the best baseball insider.
Oh, no.
When I want to be. I chose to be. So I beat.
You're such a boob.
I was so right with that. I beat you all on this.
Isn't it 108 Stitches? I just Googled it.
It was 108 stitches?
I thought so.
Yeah, whatever. 100 and something stitches. That's all I know. So
focus on the point. Yeah, you were right. Sorry.
So all of these baseball people, I don't even know a couple months ago, quite frankly, if Lou Merlone or Tony Maserati knew who the hell Chaim Bloom was. I don't even know if they knew who he was. So you know what? On this case, and I'll tell you this, the network, the television network that covers the Red Sox, nobody there had it. Jerry Remy didn't have it. Tom Karen sure as hell didn't have
it. James Ness in Boston.
They were too busy working on that new ugly logo. Oh, and I'll give you guys a little, let me pull the curtain back because I worked there for a couple years so I can tell you this. Do you know the last place to break a Red Sox story in this market will be Nessun?
Sorry, Nessun, I found this out. I think your programming is garbage.
From being there for 2 years, listen to this. I found it for 2 years that the Red Sox don't ever let Nessun know about when they're going to break news. So the Nessun will never break news on the Red Sox, ever. I called
it. That's crazy.
I predicted it. Yes, it is. And I, this one, Kurt Henning, this is to you, Mr. Perfect.
You're going to spit your gum out and slap it into the crowd.
I don't have any gum right now. Yeah, right. Or the towel.
Yep.
Or the towel.
Yep.
The towel.
Hey, you deserve it.
Hey, thank you.
As I said, when you're right once in a while,
right,
you
right.
deserve to take. You. It's a big week because you and Ben Volen were both right this week. Well, and I'm not sure you two have ever been right in the same week ever.
That's weird. That is a weird week.
Yeah.
It must be full moons all week long.
Must be blind squirrel week.
And I did have the Colts over the Texans last week, so that hit too.
Yeah, but you do that all the time gambling. Pick and choose when
right.
you remind us of the wins and forget about the losses and move on.
No, I did have the, listen,
can I ask you a question?
No, I was wrong 2 weeks ago on the Rams.
Yes, you were.
Really bad.
Is this a win or a loss for the Boston Red Sox?
Win.
So
win.
Because they clearly
home
shot
run higher. Home run higher.
But they shot higher, correct? They shot Friedman. They shot Billy Bean. They shot Theo, right?
Oh,
they were shooting higher.
No. From according to Jeff Passan, who is a baseball insider. Oh, that's another guy from ESPN. He said they only interviewed one candidate, Chaim Bloom.
Sure, but the expectation, everything I heard, they wanted a big name. They wanted to go after higher on the totem pole of these types of guys, right? And when they couldn't get the marquee, because Oakland, L.A., Chicago, they're staying where they're put.
Sure.
they go lower. And that's fine. Sometimes that's how you hit a home run. Because sometimes you get the guy as he's developing. He's a better version. He's learned from all these guys. He's sort of a disciple of that system. Or did you go, if you're looking for Randy Moss, did you convince yourself some other receiver could be as good as Randy Moss? And he isn't. Remember when Bill Belichick told the Falcons, don't take Julio Jones. You can get Jonathan Baldwin in the third round. He's the same guy. They're not always the same guy.
This guy's not necessarily.
By the way, there's lots of jokes I've been using over him.
Hey,
he's a budding GM, you know.
Chaim Bloom. Bloom,
get it, Bloom.
Well, he is.
He could blossom in this role in Boston.
Very nice.
Nah. Put a waka waka.
Don't shake your head at me.
Don't even get the rim shot back there.
I'm not encouraging that.
Yeah. Don't even get the rim shot. So anyway, somebody, you know what's funny? I will tell you this. For somebody just texted in, does this guy take a little coffee with his cocaine, always yelling? I don't do either. I don't drink coffee.
No, but you drink soda.
Yeah, I got soda. I got coffee. Yeah. I do have soda.
Same thing.
Yeah, okay.
Not as cocaine, but as coffee.
Right, exactly. It's the soda con. So congratulations to the Red Sox. I will tell you this. John Henry, Tom Werner, maybe you were listening back on August 19th.
I doubt it.
Maybe you were, but this is a home run hire. I like it. I want to see what's going to happen. See, but here's another. You asked a question about what this means for the Red Sox in terms of are they going to go in a different direction. Well, I have a statement to make. Guess who just got on the hot seat? Alex Cora.
Well, you don't need a manager from the system that Bloom comes from, right? The GM makes all the calls.
Pretty much.
Ask Dave Roberts.
Yeah, but Alex Cora, if you're Alex Cora right now, you better have a good season next year because this guy didn't hire you.
Right.
It's the whole athletic.
But you still have a ring, and you still. I mean, that's still
Dave Dombrowski
a decent
got a ring.
No, I know, but that's a little different. Like, you still are a good manager, theoretically.
Okay.
And that would be a bigger reactionary move than Dombrowski. Because Dombrowski, you're sort of clearly at a crossroads in terms of finances and long-term plan and the business model. All of that.
He did.
Who you're going to go with long-term contracts with, how you're going to reinvigorate the farm system. Those are things that were on the forefront. You needed a decision now. And if you gave Dombrowski an extension, you were clearly going in one direction. And if you didn't, you're looking to go in the other. That's the direction they're going in.
Well, here's another thing.
Cora, all we've read about is, you know, with the pitching changes, the pitching coach, how much Dana Lavangie, how much this year was about the transition towards analytics and the decisions being made based on analytics and the butting of heads between Lavangie and the analytics people. Well, that fits with Bloom. That step forward.
He's definitely analytics.
And I think Cora, more than maybe Lavangie was, that's probably why he's out of a job, among other reasons. He wouldn't be out of a job if the pitchers were better. But I think Cora is probably more open coming from the Astros and this modern style of baseball and analytics. I think he could be a Bloom guy. I don't think this necessarily means he could be on the outs. Now, you never know who Bloom likes. Could be flat out personal.
Well, we see that
in every business.
Well, I can tell you this.
New guy comes in, right. Boom, he wants his own people.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
You're right.
Like, when the AD comes in and you got a coach who's been there for a few years, had some modicum of success, the AD is going to want to name their own football coach because that's sort of the person they're tied to. That's it. Jeremy Foley at Florida. Yeah, he hired Ron Zook, but then he followed up with Urban Meyer.
Right.
Okay. It got him two national titles. He had him got 52 arrests, but it got him two national titles. So
Is that the exact number? 52 arrests.
It was like 52 arrests in Urban Meyer's 6 years. It was around 52 arrests. That's it. They did an article about that in the Tampa Bay Times.
They should do a 30 for 30.
What a dirty program. Well, and one of them ended up being a future murderer.
Yes.
Right. So there's that. So Chaim Bloom.
And some got kicked out, like Cam Newton got kicked out.
Oh, yes, he did.
Like, imagine that. There was like a borderline serial killer that stayed.
Janoris Jenkins.
Like, you got a serial killer that stayed, and you have Cam Newton get kicked out.
For stealing a laptop.
Holy crap. You had St. Tebow overseeing it all.
Oh, yeah.
They had 30 players in trouble while he was at Florida.
Yeah. But the arrests, I think, in total were like 52.
Because I'm sure each player had multiples.
Right, exactly.
Three per player, you're up to 90.
Yeah. So Chaim Bloom's areas of expertise are minor league operations, which is the Red Sox certainly need to.
Yep.
Player development, contract negotiations, international scouting. So he sort of checks all the boxes that where this team want to go. I will tell you, I think just today on October 26, 2019, I think it's a great hire. Let's see.
Of course you do.
No, let's see.
They went with your guy. That's like when I predict somebody to be drafted and they take him. Oh, it's a great pick. Yeah. He could suck two years later.
Well, the Patriots didn't go.
Bloom.
The Patriots didn't go with the guy that I wanted a couple years ago or in the 2018 draft because I sure as hell wouldn't have drafted Sony Michel.
Relax, Chuck.
I certainly would have drafted him. We'll get to that, though, in a second. So, Chaim Bloom, your thoughts on that? 617-779-7937. He is the anti-Dombrowski. It doesn't mean that the Red Sox are not going to be players for, you know, potential free agents in the future. I just think they're going to come back around, and then eventually they're going to find a happy medium. Hey, the Washington Nationals, who lost last night in Game 3, they're two wins away from winning the first World Series in franchise history, and I mean going back to their days in Montreal as the Expos, without a guy who was an MVP in Bryce Harper, who was the face of their team and maybe one of the faces of baseball. So,
and a dink.
A total dink. So the Red Sox, if they trade Mookie and J.D. Martinez decides to opt out, all is not lost. You know what the Red Sox problem is? Their starting pitching sucked last year.
Yes.
And you know what's weird? The bullpen actually ended up being pretty good towards the end of the year. They were decent.
Yeah.
But they need a closer.
They need their aces to be aces.
Now, here's one thing.
Which is the beauty of it, by the way.
Right.
If you're Bloom and you come in,
yeah.
If you just have Chris Sale pitch like Chris Sale,
or all David Price,
all of a sudden you're a good GM. Well, I didn't really do anything. They just pitched better this year.
Well, that's it.
Right?
Well, that's what I mean. If Chris Sale pitches like Chris Sale, David Price, if they bring back Porcello, Erod continues, who had a good year last year.
Very good year.
You know, 19 wins. Wins aren't exactly. I mean, Jacob DeGrom won the Cy Young last year with like 9 or 10 wins. He had a losing record, but he won the Cy. So wins are certainly not the measuring. But Erod pitched well last year, bottom line. If the starting pitching, Nathan Eovaldi, the guy you gave $68 million to for 4 years?
Kenny,
if that guy...
I don't really have much hope in that area.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Like, you can convince me Sale and Price could bounce back and both be 18-game winners.
You're
and
not
look like aces.
You don't...
Eovaldi, yeah. You're not convincing me of anything.
Two-time Tommy John surgery guy. So, your thoughts on Chaim Bloom. Didn't think we were going to go Red Sox, but we mostly went Red Sox because I called this over 2.5 months ago.
Can I ask a quick question? Yeah. I don't like to tie it in to the Patriots at all times. I don't want to be pigeonholed as the guy who only talks Patriots. But if you're talking about, if you're the Red Sox and you're Bloom and you're figuring out sort of the model, the plan, what you want to do,
yeah,
don't you just look down 95 to Foxborough? I mean, Bill Belichick is conservative, frugal, cheap at times, and then yet he pounces at times. Stephon Gilmore was out there and he said, yep, that's a $65 million cornerback. That's a guy I can build my defense around. That's a guy I'll hand $15 million a year to. Went out and handed him the largest contract in the history of the franchise. And where are they now? They have a great defense.
Well, the Patriots are the
built around Stephon Gilmore, but added to, what did he get Jamie Collins for? 1 year and nothing.
That's
how you have to play it.
The Patriots are the gold standard sports, but I think ultimately what you're going to take is, like, he's going to take the philosophy. So, when I lived in Miami, here was one of the things that I lived in a guest house in a really nice neighborhood, but one of the drawbacks was I didn't have a washer and dryer. They didn't, so, and then the woman
you lived in a guest house?
It was like a mother-in-law suite that was connected in the back.
But you didn't know the people?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, I did. But the washer and dryer, after a while, was in the main house. So the woman who lived there, she just decided after a while, I was like, hey, this is kind of a house. I don't want to let you use the washer and dryer. So I sort of would, you know, use my buddy's washer and dryer and go over his house. But after a while, so, like, here's what I'm explaining about Chaim Bloom. You're coming from a situation where you didn't have you had a $63 million payroll, but you're coming off back-to-back 90-win seasons. So last year, the Red Sox won 108 games in regular season. The Rays won, 2 years ago now, 2018, and the Rays won 90. This year, the Rays with one quarter of the, four times less the payroll, won 96 games, and the Red Sox, with a $243 million payroll, won 84. So I think he's going to take what the Rays do and try to apply it, and then...
But he doesn't have to. That's my point. Your budget grew.
And then eventually, when he needs Uncle John's checkbook to go after Garrett Cole. I'm just throwing a name out there. Or
Steven... He sucked his last time out. Who wants him?
Steven... Okay. look at him.
Recency bias.
Steven Strasburg, who's a free agent. Jake Odorizzi. I'm going to give you some free agent. Zach Wheeler. So then you now have that, hey, you know what? Uncle John's a lot richer than Stuart Sternberg, my former boss down in Tampa. So I can actually, if I, you know, say to Uncle John, hey, can I, you think we could make a pitch at Jake Odorizzi or Zach Wheeler or Steven Strasburg or by, because you know who this guy grew up being a Yankees fan? You're going to want to basically make a Godfather offer to is Garrett Cole. They sing the Yankees are going to do, like he will be a Yankee after the World Series.
Right.
So you're now you have that ability, which is it's an interesting confluence because you come from a place where you were deprived of so many resources and you were still successful. Well, now you have those resources. You're going from some startup company that did pretty well to Apple or Google.
But the problem is, and I'll point to another team in this town. Now you're Brad Stevens a year ago. Now it's not okay to overachieve and be the little engine that can get 90 wins. There's a simple standard in Boston. World
Win
Series.
Titles.
Right? World
Win
Series.
Yep.
So you can't overachieve or have this plucky roster where you get the most out of your, let's say he cuts it to $180 million at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it doesn't matter. No fan cares about the payroll in Boston or that you're overachieving or getting more out of, oh, you had that guy, middle reliever, he's doing a really nice job. What a find that guy was. No one gives a rat's
right.
ass
Boomer
if you're not
bust.
Playing
Boomer
in
bust.
October, deep into October and early November. That's
well,
all that, that's
well,
cared about.
I'm going to also say this. So a year ago, Chaim Bloom was one of the two finalists for the Mets GM job. And Fred Wilpon, who hasn't done anything good in 33 years, which is the last time the Mets won a World Series, he went with the flashy agent who is the agent for Jacob deGrom,
right.
Brody Van Wagenen. This is the reason why the Mets haven't won anything.
What's your infatuation with Bloom?
I remember you've said this in the past for a little while. I used to.
Chaim Bloom.
Is this personal?
No.
You boys with him?
No.
Is he from the U?
I never
go to grad school.
Yale.
He went to Yale.
Oh, he's way better than the U.
Yeah. Way better than you.
So
no,
what's the tie in here? Smells funny. What's your tie in? You getting a piece of the pie?
I've never met him, but I will tell you this: that I just knew that when I was there covering the Rays and in my time in Tampa, that you know Andrew Friedman was the guy. So yeah. I knew him very well. He used to come on my show all the time and everything. And I also wanted to find out who are the next guys. And I kept hearing about this kid. And this was back in 08 when it was his eighth year coming out of Yale. And then I just sort of, you know, watched him, you know, evolve and move up. And eventually I'm like, well, if a guy just won back-to-back 90-win seasons and he's the guy calling the shots, you have a chance to not only strengthen you, this is why the Red Sox have won 4 World Series in the last 15 years, unlike any other franchise, including the freaking Mets, who made the wrong hire a year ago. Chaim Bloom today should be the general manager of the Mets, but the Mets are stupid, and the Wilpons are dumb, and that's why the Wilpons' only saving grace is, thank God for James Dolan, because he's the only dumber owner in New York City than us. That's it. So the Red Sox are the reason why they're the gold standard in baseball this millennia, like this whole, you know, since 2001 is because they make good moves. And, you know, you could say what you want about Charrington. Hey, Charrington was here for a World Series. They won a World Series under Charrington. And you could say, well, a lot of that was the... No, but Charrington made some good moves.
Right.
He drafted Benintendi. I think Mookie was part. So Charrington did some things that were pretty good that you got to at least look back at. You know, he is what he is. He wasn't Theo, but he wasn't the worst GM.
So you're guaranteeing a World Series.
No, I'm not guaranteeing that.
Oh,
but I tell you
backing
this.
Backing off your boy already.
No, I'll tell you this. I'm guaranteeing them to be a perennial playoff team. And then once you get
if you're a perennial playoff team, you're going to go to the World Series and win.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Because they're going to have the resources.
Well, like Parcells.
End up, this whole plan, this whole tree of these low-budget, small-market analytics teams, they haven't really gotten over the hump with regularity. But when you take that theory and move it to Boston, well, now when you are ready to pounce, whether it's at a trade deadline or an offseason to put yourself over the top, he has the ability to do that. So if you firmly believe, and you're passionate about this guy, I trust you, you love him, whatever, Yale, all that crap. If you believe he's going to be a perennial playoff team, then he's going to win a World Series.
Yeah, he will won. He will at least.
Then he will blossom.
Yeah, then he will. He definitely will.
And
Eamon, this is one that you can mark in the tape and you won't have to look and needle in the haystack. I'm going to give you another prediction over a year from now. If the Red Sox next season have a bad year, and they decide to part with Alex Cora.
You name the manager?
Yep.
Let's go. What do you got?
The next manager of the Boston Red Sox. Do we have a drum roll here?
No.
We have something? Here we go. All right. I like it. There we go. Kevin Cash, the manager of the Tampa Bay Rays. Why? The connection. Chaim Bloom, it's familiarity. He's got a guy he can trust, back-to-back win seasons. He's one of the best managers in baseball. Should have won the manager of the year a year ago. 90 wins with a team. Oh, and by the way, they won 96 this year without two of their best pitchers who were out most of the year, Glasnow and Snell, who was the reigning Cy Young Award winner. So Chaim Bloom, I'm the president of your fan club. I want you to know that. And I called this 2.5 months
ago. Why don't you get him on the
show? Love to.
Let's go right now.
Let's go.
Let's call him.
Let's get it. I don't have his number.
Anybody? Anybody's got his number. Anybody?
I never thought me and Hart on a Saturday morning at the end of October would be doing an entire opening monologue on the Red Sox. But it's good. That's what we do. Hey, listen. We'll take your calls on this. 617-779-7937. Oh, don't worry. We're going to get to the Pats. We got a lot of Pats to get to.
Crazy week.
What a week, dude. I mean, for a team that's 7-0, you had Josh Gordon, Michael Bennett, Brady on Greg Hill, and then Adam Schefter on countdown, and then Adam Schefter doubling down on Mike Greenberg's getup. You had all that stuff going on. This was a nutso week for the Patriots, and they're 7-0. And guess who comes into town tomorrow? Some weapons. OBJ, Jarvis Landry, 12-point underdogs.
Oh, you taking the points?
You know what? I took the points. I didn't bet it, but I thought the Jets would be competitive. You did too. We both did.
I didn't know Darnold was going to poop himself on national television.
And see ghosts?
Unreal.
Yeah. You didn't know it? Well, he didn't find the, quote, weakness.
Well, I don't blame him for that. I think the Patriots, they're magnificent at doing that, taking something that is innocuous.
So what do you think?
Turning it into,
we know that, yes. Belichick, the only first or second year quarterback I've ever seen come in and have success against a Bill Belichick coach team, and he should have won, was Deshaun Watson a couple years ago. Remember that game in September of 2017?
Yes, indeed.
Over 300 yards, bunch of, you know, he was, and the
33-30.
Was it 36-33, something like that.
It was a three-point loss.
But it was a three-point loss, and you're like, wow. You wonder what Belichick is going to do to Baker Mayfield tomorrow. It's his second year.
Who already looks terrible, who looks like he's seen ghosts in previous games.
Is that good for them or bad?
I'll let you know around 4:50 on Sunday, because I think this game will be decided in some fashion within like the first 10 or 15 minutes. If the Patriots do what they did against the Jets and it's just same old, we're going to score or we're going to force a turnover and then score, then the Browns will, they're weak. They're a fraud team. They will just roll into the route. If the Patriots don't make plays, if they punt, and then Baker maybe hits a big play to OBJ, a 30-40-yard pass. I think the fraud Browns that have a little false bravado to them, then they'll be like, well, we can do this. And then they'll start feeling themselves a little bit. I think that game will be decided early. The Browns can lose it early. And then, you know, obviously to win it, they'll have to play four quarters.
Patriots are a 12-point favorite going into tomorrow. I didn't think, I really, and I felt so stupid. You, me, and Mutt. I guess when we're on the same page as Mutt going into a game, that's mush.
I say when I'm on the same page as you and Mutt, then I'm a moron.
Oh, then you're really effed.
Then I have a concussion. Can somebody get me to a hospital then and have me checked out?
Yeah, you're screwed. You're Troy
Aikman. I'm a dummy on the radio.
Yeah.
Real life too, Mutt.
Yeah. You know, Mutt said the other night when he was on the air with Tom Curran at Encore Boston Harbor, it's like sticking a square hole in a round peg.
Which would be hard to do, admittedly.
Right.
First of all, Mutt, sure, it's hard to do. You're an embarrassment.
617-779-7937. Mark and Hart. We'll get to all your phone calls next. We got the Red Sox new GM. Your thoughts on that? And again, like we sort of mentioned, not only is this a huge breath of fresh air and the shot in the arm for the Sox, but look what that does to the Rays. Now the Rays got to find the next Chaim Bloom who came out of an Ivy League institution. And so now they've got it changed. So it killed two birds with one stone for the Red Sox. So it you know, and this is a team who actually made the playoffs, unlike the Red Sox this year. So Kevin Cash will be the next manager of the Red Sox in a year. If Alex Cora fails next year.
You know why? Because they'll show him the money. Kevin Cash. Bada-bada-bing.
Yep.
That's day for Andy. Dad jokes all Saturday morning. Woo!
All right, 617-779-7937. Now it's time for trending.
Drive home with OMF, weekday afternoons 2 to 6. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
You got a heavier sweatshirt on than me. Are you sweating today?
A little bit.
We got to turn that. I'll turn it down a little bit because I'm like.
Yeah, it's a little hot in here.
Yeah, it's like.
It's hot. It's all our hot takes.
Hot? Yeah, I guess it's.
Can't cool these down, baby. All that hot air. I think we should do a theme show. Let's do a positive show. All positive. Celtics, Red Sox, Patriots, everything.
That's
impossible.
This
is all positivity for the next 3.5 hours. You will take it and you will allow it because I know you're negative by heart, but today. You're taking your victory lap. You're smiling. You predicted it. All positivity.
Amen. You know what's funny? A week ago, you weren't here last Saturday, were you?
I was not.
Okay. So you were at a wedding, and he said to me after doing a show with me for 4 months, he goes, you know, you dwell a lot on the negative. Did you? I'm like, You just noticed that now?
I said he has an unhealthy infatuation with the negative.
Yes, that's what it was.
Really does.
It only took you 4 months to realize
that. I don't know. Sorry. Again, CTE, concussed, something wrong with me.
All right, Patriots and the Browns scheduled 4:25 kickoff tomorrow from Gillette Stadium. Ryan Izzo, Matt LaCosse already ruled out. Five other Pats, Julian Edelman, Rex Burkhead, surprise, surprise there, and Patrick Chung.
See?
Listen,
look at that negativity. He couldn't even make it through the trending staying positive.
Browns will get both their starting corners, Greedy Williams from LSU and Denzel Ward back for the first time since week three. So that'll, you know, make them a little, that's a nice little boost for them.
That's why you're taking the points.
I wouldn't touch it. I'd stay away. Celtics hosted the defending champion Toronto Raptors last night, and nice fourth quarter comeback, 112-106, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, 25 points apiece. Celtics back in action tonight at the world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden, 7:30 tip against Marcus Morris and the New York Knicks.
Yeah.
So they face Al Horford, then they face Marcus Morris tonight. Knicks haven't gotten a win yet this year. What else is new? Bruins get a chance. Oh, this hurt. This hurts, though.
You're not very good at this positivity stuff. You're dripping with negativity throughout this trending.
Right. The Bruins get a chance tonight for revenge as they host the defending Stanley Cup champion.
Can we get some positivity about that?
That hurts, though, because I remember game seven.
Yeah, because, you know, as my old boss used to say, this isn't a rematch of any sort.
Right.
Unless they hand you a cup after the game, it's nothing like a rematch.
Right. Ryan O'Reilly, go screw. This one's just on the trending. So I'm reading this verbatim. As I correctly called back in early August, the Boston Red Sox have hired Dave Dombrowski's replacement. That's right. Former Tampa Bay Rays VP of baseball operations, Chaim Bloom.
I don't think you say his name right, by the way.
Chaim.
It's Chaim.
Listen, what do you think they're going to do? You think every person in Boston? Yeah.
Well, first of all, I just said, Chaim?
Right.
First time I saw it.
Right.
Chaim Bloom?
Yeah, that's what most of the baseball insiders said until they found out his proper enunciation. That's what's trending now on WEI and WEEI.com. Your phone calls and Mark and Hart at 617-779-7937.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're right back to Mark and Hart on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
How would you describe that and what you bring to the table?
I bring the juice and the squeeze.
can you explain juice and the squeeze?
I mean, you just gotta see. That's something that you explain. You either got it or you don't.
Thank you. One more question.
All right, that's Mohamed Sanu, who's the newest New England Patriot. The Patriots gave up a second-round pick to get him. And, he also said that, that a certain someone was actually making a hospitable offer for his jersey.
Really? Well, he DM'd me when I first got traded. He said welcome and everything like that. How excited! And then he said if I wanted 12, you know, I could get it. I was like, nah. You got that. I'll change the 14.
Could you ever offer him anything?
No. I just go out there and I'll do my job and let him be great.
So Mohamed Sanu making friends already. More than Michael Bennett did.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, like, they're polar opposites. Bennett came in with nothing but questions about, you know, how he fits in with teams and deals with authority and all that. And Sanu is in this long line of Rutgers guys that seem to be sort of the perfect do your job Patriot candidates. I did think it was interesting, though. I didn't expect him to come in. I mean, that's more of a Randy Moss-like comment. I'm the juice and the squeeze.
I bring the juice and the squeeze.
You know, that's not, I can't see Devin McCourty or Daron Harmon or Jason McCourty saying that upon arrival at their new team.
No.
So there's a little extra juice, so to speak, here that I like. Because I do think on the field, he's going to be the perfect fit. I don't know how good he'll be. You know, he's been a complimentary weapon his whole career.
Right.
He lines up next to A.J. Green. He lines up next to Julio Jones or with Ridley. But he's going to fit in great. You're going to there'll be some highlight of him, you know, on the Bellustrator, you know, they do on Patriots.com.
Yes.
Where you hire. There'll be some downfield block he makes to spring Julian Edelman for a touchdown, or Sony Michel, your guy, for a long run. There will be a trick play. There will be dirty work.
Will it be longer than 2.2 yards?
Yes.
Okay.
You have failed miserably in my idea of doing a theme show that was all positive.
Yeah, that's not going to
happen. You can't freaking help yourself.
No, I can't. That
can't.
Jeez.
What's Sony Michel's record right now?
He's on a team that's 7-0. Not because of him.
How many rings he got?
One.
Yeah. In how many years?
This is his second. So
based
one for one.
On all he could accomplish, he's more accomplished than Tom Brady. One ring in one season. Tom Brady didn't win his first ring till his second season.
Well, you know what?
Michelle better than Brady.
Well, because the team went 5-11 when Brady had
Was on it.
But Brady was.
He was on it.
But he wasn't playing.
He was on it. He was on it.
It was Drew Bledsoe. Was he on the team? It was all Bledsoe.
No further questions, Your Honor.
Bledsoe. The worst playoff quarterback in NFL history.
Don't be mean. Bledsoe was a very good quarterback for this region until we saw what a great quarterback was.
But I mean, in the playoffs, he was bad. He went to the Super Bowl one year.
He went to the Super Bowl.
Look at his playoff numbers.
Helped you get to the Super Bowl when Brady won it.
Look at
Key throw in Pittsburgh.
I know. He was.
We're not going to be spending this morning stomping on Drew Bledsoe's grave as a quarterback.
No. Listen, Bledsoe.
You bully.
The one thing I get
guy
about
gets
Bledsoe,
one thing right, and he thinks he can criticize everybody else in town.
The one thing about Bledsoe I will give him credit is that, like you said, nobody knew at the time that. Nobody knew
what the hell that was.
Bledsoe would be the player that Brady would end up being the GOAT. No one knew.
Obviously.
That. But you also thought that Bledsoe would sort of validate that $100 million contract that he ended up getting.
Never had a chance. He moved on. He was a Pro Bowl quarterback in Buffalo.
Yeah, he wasn't that good in Dallas, though.
But he was okay. In this day and age, we're watching some really bad quarterbacks out there. Man. He's pretty good, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like Joe Flacco. Denver got all excited about Joe Flacco. Bledsoe's way better than Joe Flacco. Bledsoe blows Flacco away.
I'll go with that. My thing overall is that 6 touchdowns, 12 picks in his NFL playoff career. His completion percentage was 51%.
A different era.
Yeah, it was, but.
Just going to defend him to the end.
Yeah, that's fine. Go ahead and do it. I worked with a guy one time who still thinks to this day that Bledsoe is better than Brady. Still to this day does.
Well. Yeah, that guy has problems.
Yeah,
we might want to see somebody about that.
Yeah. 617-779-7937. We'll take your phone calls. We're going to get to all the Patriots stuff. Tucker in a car has been holding. I want to get to him. He wants to chime in on Chaim Bloom. What's up, Tucker?
All right. So I wasn't going to bring this up at all, but since you mentioned it during trending, both of you are saying his name wrong.
Yeah, I thought it was Chaim.
It is Chaim.
Hey, Tucker, I'm going to tell you, now that he's New England, just like if Cam Newton was here in New England, people wouldn't be saying Newton. They'd just be calling him Newton.
I know.
We know who you're talking about, but go ahead.
I'll tell you, everybody else, if you want to get it right in practice, look up Two Life from the Fiddler on the Roof soundtrack, because Chaim in Hebrew means life, and they mentioned it about a million times. It's a great song. Anyway, all right.
Bloom brings life to Red Sox. Yes. I like the headline.
Yes, exactly. And anytime he does something right, you know, your producers can play a clip from the song, L'Chaim. That's a free one.
Okay.
So let's actually talk about him as a GM. You also mentioned this briefly before training. Thank you for taking the air out of my call. But I think it really can't be understated how important he is that he is not working for a division rival right now. Right? Because we got 5 teams in this division. The Orioles are a joke. The Blue Jays in a different division would be okay, I think. But it was a two team division. It was the Yanks and the Rays, unfortunately. We were not really in it.
Yeah.
But in a year where we're good, we've gone from a 3-team division to a 2-team division, and considering that, you know, the wild card is a thing, that puts us in a lot better place.
So you think this eliminates the Rays from contention?
I don't think it eliminates the Rays from contention next year, but I think it makes our, unless they go out and get Billy Bean, which they, let's be real, if we couldn't do it, they won't. I think it makes our job in the next, let's say, 2 to 5 years a lot easier.
I would say, you know, easier is an interesting way. I will say this. You weaken your enemy. I mean, you weaken a team that certainly. And here's the thing, Tucker. You know, I covered the Rays, and I thought when they lost Longoria, when they lost Carl Crawford to, of course, the Red Sox, B.J. Upton, all these guys who kept coming, Ben Zobrist, And then somehow, some way, they'll find Kiermaier, and they'll find these guys, Austin Meadows, and these guys who just come out of nowhere and end up playing. They have this Wall Street mentality when buy low, sell high. And unfortunately, this one, they didn't want to sell at all. But at the end of the day, Chaim certainly deserved to get this position. And I tell you, Tucker, I love the hire. So I like it. And I think... Now, I'm not saying he's going to be the next Theo Epstein, because Theo Epstein was responsible for two World Series here. I don't give him as much credit for the 2013, because he was gone.
Well, he also is responsible for breaking long streaks in two different places.
There you go.
I mean,
so he's
his resume is bulletproof.
He reversed curses in Boston and Chicago.
He did the impossible, essentially.
In both places. So this kid, he's still a kid, 36 years old. Let's see what he can do. But now you're going to find out now that he's going to find out, kind of like the old Dorothy, you're not in Kansas anymore.
Right.
Guess what? You're not going to get this fluff coverage like you did in the Tampa Bay Times by Mark Topkin. Okay? You're going to get criticized here. You're going to get Dan Shaughnessy calling you out when he thinks that you're not doing your job right. You're going to get sports talk gas bags like me and you who say, you know what? Man, what the hell was he thinking going after that guy?
How long does he get? I mean, sort of that honeymoon period, transitional window.
4 years.
4 years.
I think it's 4 years.
I think it's less than that. I think you're being overly generous and unrealistic on the city of Boston and its fans. Yeah. I mean, because I think people, you already had before he even arrived, as I talked about earlier, you had the expectation this was going to get weird for a little bit, where you're moving on from Betts, potentially. You're moving on from J.D. Martinez. You're adjusting your finances, whatever. So I think people had that in their mind, whether you want to call it bridge years, that term they used back in the day under Theo, or whatever. But then there's also just the reality. And I say this all the time. They're an entertainment outlet. They are not just a competitive organization. Part of it is entertainment. And the entertainment factor is day-to-day. Is absolutely day-to-day. It's why, coming off a World Series and your greatest season arguably in franchise history, there was bitching and moaning in April. Why? Because they sucked and they weren't entertaining and they were losing. So in the mind of the fan, there's those two levels. I know they're trying to reset the organization, rebuild the minor league system. You know, their approach might be a 3-year plan to get back to dominant play, 100 wins. But I have to watch them play 162 times a year over the next 3 years. I want entertainment. I want good competitive baseball. And sometimes those two things butt head in the mind of the fan.
Well, and I said this, the one thing too, which how do you reconcile this if you're the Red Sox? John Henry's come out and said that we need to get under that luxury tax threshold. He wants to obviously not be over that. You say you're going to lower payroll, which means that you could potentially lose J.D. Martinez he can opt out. And then Mookie Betts, you might have to trade and start to build your farm system again and acquiring assets. And you just raise ticket prices.
No question.
I mean, that's a little bit. How do you reckon? So you got a lot of fan base saying, wait a second. Okay, I got you last year. I didn't have a problem when you're coming off your fourth World Series title in 14 years and you won 119 games, including the postseason. You won 84. So you went from 108 wins in the regular season. You had the Red Sox had the most negative win-loss differential in baseball, minus 24 from a year ago. So now you're raising ticket prices, but you're going to cut salary? Huh?
That's why I think when you had John Henry say, we're going to get below. Then a week later or so, Sam Kennedy, I believe on this station, was like, well, it's not a mandate. We're going to do what we need to do to be a good, try to sort of walk those comments back. Because he's the guy that on a more day-to-day level has to deal with upset fans and appearances on this radio station and realizes, whoa, if I say it's a mandate, we're cutting payroll, that sounds like we're just, you know, fire sale. We're turning back the clock to a different era.
We're going
to
rebuild.
That doesn't fly.
Yeah.
That doesn't fly.
The word rebuild does not exist in markets like Boston, New York, and Philadelphia. It does not exist. Not when it comes to these baseball teams.
And I also think
nobody wants to hear rebuild. Reset, fair enough. Not rebuild.
It also sells less and less in any market, and we talk about this in general, where, as I said, it's entertainment. There's a lot of places for me to spend my entertainment dollars outside of your ballpark. I can look to a different sport. Maybe this is the year I say, you know what, I'm all in on the Bruins or the Celtics. I'm spending that money in that arena, or the Patriots, or maybe I spend more money elsewhere. casinos are everywhere. I just find a different form of, I'm going to Encore and I'm spending my, what would have been $500 at a trip to Fenway, I'm spending $500 at Encore.
Yeah.
Right? There's a million ways people
go on
spend their money.
7-Eleven, right?
Spend your money. It's all entertainment dollars. You need to find a way to hook it.
So the Patriots this week, a lot of news they were making. There are two moves they make that were quite peculiar. Josh Gordon on IR, Michael Bennett gone. Which one was more surprising, and which one will the Patriots by the end of this year possibly regret more? 617-779-7937.
Regret is not a positive word.
I don't care.
Jesus.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This is Mark and Hart on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
Mike, are there teams in this league that could use a pass rusher? Would you want to be traded?
It's up to them. I mean, it's up to the team if they, or how they feel about it. I mean, I like playing here. So.
Are you happy playing here?
It's good. I'm just chilling.
He was very soft-spoken, and he certainly, after that thing, did not do himself. He wanted out. He was never a good fit here. The one thing in this, and I've been highly critical of Bill Belichick when it comes to high draft picks, but the one thing I will say for Michael Bennett and Antonio Brown, it's $14 million that you guaranteed these guys that basically is gone. It's not this sort of fictitious cap money. That's $14 million that is gone. That's hard money that is out the door that you can never recoup, and neither guy are here anymore.
Right. I mean, for the here and now, you actually get cap space on Bennett because trading his salary and his per game bonuses away. It actually, because at Pat's cap over on Boston Sports Journal, Miguel. As of one point on Thursday, and he does a good job. He keeps track of everything.
Does. Oh, yeah.
He had the Patriots cap space down to like $10,722 or something. Like a ridiculous. So a lot of people reacted to the Bennett. First of all, the Bennett trade was coming. Right. As Michael said, they can do what they want to do, and they wanted to trade you. It wasn't working. You were clearly upset. You didn't return from your suspension as like, oh, I learned my lesson. I'm ready to just get in where I fit in. I'm a happy guy. No. He was grumpy. He wanted out. He's out. You found a team to trade for him. That gave you more cap space for this year, and you got a seventh-round pick. And I know willy-nilly, who cares about a seventh-round pick, but that's one of those things Bill will throw into some trade down the road.
But it could turn into a sixth-round.
Right. Yeah,
it possibly.
Might not, but even just a seven. That's one of those where Bill trades a five and a seven to get something back, and you say, well, he traded. He got a little something out of that little bit of value. So we knew this was coming, and this is what Bill does. He's going to move on, and that's the cachet. Like, this would be looked at totally different in Cleveland. Like, if Freddie Kitchens was running the show and they traded for Michael Bennett, gave him a new contract, gave him guaranteed money, and then had to unload him seven games later after suspension. Well, you know, it's Freddie Kitchens. He's got no control of the locker room, the veteran player. He can't deal with him, blah, 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 screwed up, burned money. Bill, we're rolling right along. Get out.
So, Josh Gordon's placed on IR. There's reports that obviously when Josh Gordon is healthy, that he will be completely waived. And
1 to 2 weeks, according to a tweet just recently, last half hour from Josina Anderson, that Gordon is expected to be healthy within 1 to 2 weeks and waived by the Patriots.
So I'll tell you this, though. Not that either player will be the difference in winning seventh Vince Lombardi Trophy or not. I think they're going to miss Michael Bennett more than Josh Gordon. A little bit.
On the field, I think there's the potential.
That's what I mean.
You're not going to miss him in the locker room, clearly. No.
And by the way, in terms of sound, when you talk about sound of things that were said 6 months ago, actually March. So this is almost 9 months. March
23rd.
March 23rd. Jason Whitlock on Michael Bennett.
I think he's a poser. I've seen this a million times. I don't want to put words in anybody else's mouth, but there's always the athlete in the locker room from two-parent family, never missed a meal, but wants to be a thug in the worst way.
Oh, keep going.
One of my best friends at Ball State was that guy, and I loved him. He was one of my best friends, but always wanted to be a guy that was in a drive-by shooting and had a teardrop so he could tell everybody he was a thug. That's who Michael Bennett is. Great family, but he's a poser.
He's a fraud. My issue is, ooh, I don't care about what he did before here. I brought this up to you, I think, last week, the week before, the audio from when he arrived late to training camp. He was 2 or 3 days late, and he said, the fact that Bill treated with me respect, that's a coach. I can look him in the eye. Whatever he asked me to do, I'll do it. And then 2 months later, you're causing problems. You're fighting Brett Bielema because you're unhappy with your role. What happened to the guy that we were going to have a mutual respect back and forth, and you would do what I asked you to do? Because there was no guarantee. Now, I know it's hard. He's used to playing all the time, making plays, getting after the passer. He's on a 7-0 football team where he's been around football long enough to know there's a good chance Dietrich Wise, Adam Butler, one of those guys is either going to get hurt or not be playing as well. They're young, sort of unproven players still at this point. And he's probably thrust into a big role come the Dallas Cowboys game or, you know, some game into the Chiefs game or the playoffs. And yet that wasn't good enough. Right? Double down on that when I talked to the media after the suspension. What do you mean do I take from it? I took from it. I missed a week and a paycheck. I don't take it. Like, it's always that anger and that pushing back and that animosity. How about I just fall in line and be a good veteran because you're on a good team?
When you have a coach that has the human, sees you as a human being, not just a number, and you have an issue, and you're able to go talk to him and tell him about what's going on, and you're able to go take care of it. That just makes you want to play harder for a coach who believes in you and let you take care of your family first.
Right. That was Michael Bennett during training camp.
July 27th or 8th when he arrived.
It's amazing how that tune changed in 3 months.
You're not just a number, but you see yourself as just a number, and that number was 36% play time and 11 snaps the last game. You saw yourself as just a number when you said coming into the team you were going to see yourself and the guy who's giving the orders as a man, and there was going to be a respectful relationship. Well, the respect only went one way.
Here's the thing about on Michael Bennett is why Bill Belichick, there's only been one player in New England Patriots franchise history, his number's 12, his first name is Tom, his last name is Brady, that's irreplaceable. It's TB12. That's it. Every other player, you can go back to Gino Cappelletti, you can go back to Nick Buonocani.
More recently, you can go to Randy Moss. How about Rob Gronkowski?
Wes Welker, Vince Wilfork. The list goes on and on. We could go back, Steve Grogan. There's always going to, predating Belichick and Brady, there's only one guy who is irreplaceable in this franchise history. And you know what? According to reports, and we'll get to this on the other side, it's not like the Patriots exactly backed up the Brinks truck to take care of their six-time Super Bowl champion quarterback as of today. So right now that tells you that you're on a seven. Here's the thing about Michael Bennett that I don't get. You're on a 7-0 team and you're being a problem. You know what Belichick does to problems? He gets rid of them. And you are not irreplaceable.
Same thing I did to the wart on my thumb. I went to the doctor and had it removed.
You get rid of problems. You became a problem. Now, Josh Gordon wasn't a problem. He just didn't produce on the field.
Well, we don't know. I think we're going to find out. There might be a few more layers to this Josh Gordon issue. Financially, attitude, availability. Mike Lombardi alluded to, this is a guy, it's not just does he fall off the wagon in terms of his demons and his issues, but I think the word Lombardi uses volume, just like the volume of everything that goes into being accountable, on time, always where you're supposed to be, doing the right thing in terms of being a team member. But I think the biggest issue is what you alluded to. He's not that good.
But not anymore.
It's always about the risk and the reward, or the investment and the return on that investment. And I said it a month and a half ago in a column I wrote on EEI.com. People shredded me when I called into question how good Gordon was and it was time for him to step up and prove his value. Well, Bill Belichick proved his value, and it wasn't all that valuable because he said, you know what? You're out.
Yeah, and he did. Good call on that. And listen, I called out a guy who led the NFL rookie running backs in postseason history, the most touchdowns at six, and look at the year he's having. And I was way ahead of the curve on that. Let's see if it continues.
You were so far ahead of the curve, you ripped him before he was good, and now you're ripping him again after he was good.
Right, when he's bad now. When he's bad now. All right, so this week, the big talk, which got ratcheted up to a whole nother level on Monday Night Countdown, thanks to Adam Schefter, and then Tom Brady came on the station that she does every week with Greg Hill. We'll get to all that in your phone calls coming up next on Mark and Hart. 617-779-7937. Now, I will say this, that the three options that Adam Schefter has said, the least likely option is Tom Brady returning to New England. I never thought that that could be even a distinct possibility. Now I'm a little bit worried. We'll get to that coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.